Today, I would like to talk a little bit about forgiveness. I know it's a broad and can be a very detailed subject. I'd like to make maybe a few concise points, perhaps. And I'd like to ask the question, when God calls us, we're required to do many things, a good number of things, you know, not the least of which is confession and repentance, being way up there on the list. And if and when we do so, 1 John 1, verse 19 tells us that God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And brethren, we are also then called to forgive those who have sinned against or offended us. And those offenses can sometimes be real or only perceived. They can be from slight to incredibly devastating and difficult to get through and over. And psychologists will generally tell us that forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who have or has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your or my forgiveness. And the Bible's full of examples of forgiveness of varying types. We have the example of Joseph and his brothers. I can't imagine one of my siblings or a number of my siblings selling me into slavery, into which I'm then transferred to a foreign country, into forced servitude, to work my way out of forced servitude, into the good graces of the captain of the guard, only then to be called out by false accusation, and my life has just taken an incredibly different turn after that. And the long time that it took for him to get back, or for God to put him where he wanted him. What a process of forgiveness that must have been, and then the reconciliation that occurred afterwards between him and his brothers. Let me reference Genesis 45 for that. I'm not going to read the entire thing there. I'm not going to read any of that right now. But I'd also like to mention the prodigal son as another type of forgiveness. I think a little bit easier bit of forgiveness for a parent to see one of their children come home. But I can't, and they must have had some sort of an indication. This is Luke 15, verses 11 through 22. Again, I'm not going to read that either, but I think we're all very familiar with that. But they must have been at some point aware of what was transpiring in his life, judging by his older brother's reaction when he arrived home. He seemed to have known what he was up to, you know. And I think initially maybe his father felt concern, anger, perhaps betrayal. I mean, I'm sure he spent long years building up an inheritance for his son only to blow it and walk away. But then both of them, I think, had time to experience and think and meditate on certain things. The father on, you know, whether he was going to see his son again, you know, what was his reaction going to be, or if he was ever going to see him again. And maybe he was just stunned beyond belief that he saw him. And perhaps had a chance to make right some of the things that may have transpired between them before his son left. And the reconciliation that occurred. You know, and I think the older brother had some things to learn of his own. And then we get to Acts 7, verse 54. If you'll all turn there with me, please. And this is the account of Stephen. Acts 7, verse 54 through 60, we'll read this. And this is the NIV version I'm reading from, Acts 7 and verse 54. And when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city, began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this against them. Do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said that, he fell asleep. He died. The apostles were subjected to all forms of abuse and harassment, torture, and death. And can we see ourselves maintaining a heart of forgiveness through all of that, let alone daily instances of perceived offenses or real offenses and slights that maybe we capture throughout our day, we think that registers with us, and maybe we never let them go? You know, are we actively thinking about these things as we move around during our days and releasing them and talking to God about them? What can be some of the side effects of not forgiving someone? It certainly will take a spiritual toll on people, take a mental and emotional toll on people. I've seen this in my own life, what it does to people, what it can do to people. And to me, it's out and out bondage. It's like a prison, you know, and we are not designed to hold on to that. We're designed to take that to God. He's the one who works that out for us. What can it do and how can it affect our relationships? One of the other side effects it can have is that we can actually contribute to keeping someone else in bondage, someone we haven't forgiven, and they know that we haven't forgiven them. And there they are stuck in that state. You know, that's one other thing to think about. It can also keep us from being the lights we're called to be. For God has a plan for us, and if we're not keeping our hearts right with God and revealing in all honesty who we are to him and letting him take care of that for us and cleanse us himself, then he's not able to work out our specific path that he has planned for us in life. It separates us from God. In Matthew 6 and verse 14, again from the NIV, Matthew 6 verses 14 through 15, another familiar scripture. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That is separation from God. That's something to think about. I mean, personally, I began to see that recently. I had not seen it that way before, but that is separation from God, lack of forgiveness. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. And so many respects in my life, I have been. How are some of the ways that we can maybe mitigate this? Steps that we might be able to take in order to begin the process of forgiveness and reconciliation with others. One of them, I would say, is practice giving your hurts to God. Acknowledge it. Don't bury it. Don't begin to build a wall around yourself to protect your heart. God wants that. Maybe against other people, but give it all to God. Some wounds run very deep, and I know this. And it can take a long time to get through. I understand this as well. And 20 years ago, and it's very difficult to believe it's been that long for me, but I lost someone very, very close to me. And I didn't just have serious, this was my older brother, Jeff. And I didn't just have serious issues dealing with the grief. To this day, I still have questions and feelings of anger and resentment that will come to light in my heart. You know, that I still have to deal with, that I've held on to. You know, so I understand that this can be a time-consuming process sometimes, but we have to, I think, continuously give this to God and ask him to work it out for us and repent. It's not necessarily a one-time thing. It can be a gradual process over and over again, and for which the best first treatment is actively and continually on a daily and, if necessary, moment-by-moment basis, giving these things to God. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, another scripture I think that we're all very familiar with. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your cares upon God, for he cares for you. We can tear the walls down and release the safeguards on our hearts with God. We can do that with God. He's perfectly safe. And another point I'd like to make is that we have to choose to forgive. While we can make an actual matter-of-fact decision to forgive, and that's definitely a step in the right direction, the act of forgiving comes from the heart. God wants our entire honest hearts with this because it's also part of living honestly, a complete sharing of ourselves in this most important relationship with God. And I'd like to look at it from a different angle. In Genesis 25, verse 29, I'm not going to read through that, but we're talking about the account of Jacob and Esau. And I'm going to look at it from Esau's perspective, because God didn't tell Jacob to do this to Esau. You know, Jacob and Rebekah did this. But, and I think perhaps God allowed that to happen because of some of Esau's behaviors. But here he is, you know, Jacob is scared to death of him. Jacob travels to another land to get away from him. And at some point, he knows he's going to have to meet up with him. And when they do, totally unexpected. And it was a heartfelt, you know, reconciliation between the two. And perhaps both of them had time to think, you know, this is my blood. You know, I'm sure God had a hand in that as well. But there's a reconciliation involved, and that's where I want to go to next, is to seek reconciliation when possible with other people. As many of you can attest, it's not easy. It's just not easy. If you've wronged someone else, if they've wronged you, it's not easy. But it goes hand in hand with forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. I'm going to start in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. He forgave us and reconciled us to him and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. So he forgives us and gives us this. All this is from God. So it's kind of like, I would say, a mission for us, you know, our purpose here. And finally, I would like to say, maybe perhaps, I don't know if it's the best analogy in the world, but I would like to say, let's say you're a chemist and you're creating formulas and you have to get the right amounts of the right chemicals into the proper formulation in order to create a specific finished product. The wrong amounts, the wrong molecular configuration, the wrong chemicals, the wrong conditions can turn the results into something completely different and perhaps not so good. In similar fashion, God requires our full hearts in order to craft and perfect his very specific loving plan for each one of us. And when we hold back, there's a slight deviation there. The more we give to him, I think the more accurate we are as far as his plan goes for us and our individual lives. So brethren, let's all work together to remove these barriers so we can help one another more fully in our collective and individual ministries of reconciliation. Mm-hmm.